الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host or your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or the Islamic Studies class is designed to present what is the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper and pencil for taking notes. Note taking may be very essential in today's class because we will be doing a book comparison between the Quran and the Bible. Both were sent from Allah to mankind to guide them. So I want to look at how are they similar, because people are always trying to, in the media in particular, try to put a divide between Muslims and Christians, or Muslims and Jews, and Muslims in this organization or that organization. But we have more in common than we have different. By the way, those who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back. And those who are new listeners, our new students, are welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Again, today's topic will be looking at the commonalities between the Islam and Christianity. And also, by doing this comparison, one of the two books, meaning can make a comparison between these two books, I will be encouraging members of both faith, the Islamic faith and the Christian faith, to adhere to our teachings of our books and the guidance in our books. We have a lot more things that we are the same than we are different. First, I want to mention that Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, is the closest prophet to Jesus, meaning there were no prophets or messengers between Jesus and Muhammad. Also, Jesus is mentioned in about 11 different chapters in the Quran. Also, there's a chapter in the Quran named Mary or Maryam, which is chapter 19, which just talks about Mary and the birth of Jesus and all the different stories pertaining to her, and it's saying about her and her son. And believing in Jesus as a prophet of Allah is one of the beliefs of the Muslim. We must believe in all of the prophets and messengers of Allah. And so Jesus is one of the prophets and messengers of Allah. And so we believe in him. And we don't worship him, but we believe in him and we respect him. And you read our book, particularly chapter 19 of the Quran, you will find out what Islam says about this person who was known as Jesus Christ or Jesus the son of Mary. Now I want to look at what the Quran says about various topics, and then also we're going to look at what the Bible says. You may say, is it the New Testament, is it the Old Testament, is it the King James Version, all these kind of things. I really can't get into that right now, but I'm just saying to you, if you have your Quran, this is part of our class, your Quran with you, I want you to look at that. And if you happen to have a Bible, whatever Bible you go by, and I also want you to do some comparisons there. My suggestion, while you're getting your notes, get your notepads ready and get your two books open, is that if you can't keep up with both of what I'm saying from the Quran and from the Bible, then at least write down the various verses that I'm talking about, and you go back later on and do your own comparison pertaining to the both of them, because they both provide guidance to mankind, because we kind of get off the path towards God, and these books provide us with what directions on how to get back on the path and straight path towards God. Now, in the Quran, in chapter 10, verse 4. Then again, Quran chapter 10, verse 4, it says, and we're talking about justice. To him you shall be all returned. Allah's promise is true. He is the one who originates the process of creation and repeats, meaning he will bring it back to life, so that he may justly reward those who believe in him and do righteous deeds. Now in Deuteronomy, in the 37th chapter, in the fourth verse, he says, and Allah says, he is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And so again, we see both books talking about Allah, and talking about justice. He may, in the Quran, they mentioned about Allah may just reward those who believe in him. And in the Bible, it talks about that God is upright and he is just. Now, let's look at terms of righteousness and reward. In the Quran, in the same verse, in the same chapter, I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 26. Again, that's in Quran, chapter 10, verse 26, when we talk about righteousness and reward. And it says in Quran, those who do good deeds shall have a good reward and even more than they deserve. Neither blackness nor disgrace shall cover their faces. They will be the inhabitants of paradise. They will live therein forever. Again, that's from chapter 10, verse 26 in Quran, talking about righteousness and talking about rewards that Quran emphasizes. Now, let's look at what the Bible says. And in the Bible, it talks about in Samuel 22:25. Again, in Samuel 22:25, it says, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Again, righteousness and rewards are mentioned in both books. Righteousness and rewards are mentioned in Quran, in chapter 10, verse 26, and in the Bible, in Samuel 23:25, it mentioned about righteousness and being clean and being rewarded from our Lord. Again, both books guiding people to what is right. Because we go and we drift off the path. But because we drift off the path, do not mean that we have to stay off the path. We have the opportunity, as long as we are alive, to go back onto the path. And our books, we must read it, and helps us to get us back on the path. Now, let's look at both in terms of faith, meaning in terms of not, both faith do not like murder, or preservation of life is important to both of our faiths, the Christian faith and the Muslim faith. In Quran, in chapter 5, the 32nd verse, again, Quran, chapter 5, the 32nd verse, Allah says, he who kill any person, unless it be a person guilty of manslaughter or of spreading chaos in the land, shall be looked upon as though he had slayed all mankind. And he who saves one life shall be regarded as though he has saved the lives of all of mankind. So here we see in chapter 5, the 32nd verse of Quran, it mentions about the importance of preserving life and against murder. We see particularly in the Baltimore metropolitan area almost daily, nightly, particularly in the summertime, people killing people. Just kill them sometimes for no reason, absolutely no reason whatsoever. Just to kill, just to be killing. And these are people, some people may even swear to a particular religion or not swear to religion, but if you're religious or not religious, it doesn't matter. Killing is wrong, no matter who's doing it. And again, with Quran in chapter 5, the 32nd verse, it mentioned that if I take a life of a person, it's like I take the life of all of mankind. But if I save the life of a person, it's as if I save the life of all of mankind. Now, in Exodus, in Bible, the 20th chapter, the 13th verse, it says, again, that's Exodus 20, 13. It says, you shall not murder. Psalms, meaning 119th, and I guess this verse 107. Hear my voice in accordance to with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. Again, they're making this sort of supplication, if you will, about hear my voice according to your love. Preserve my life. Not take my life, but preserve my life. Meaning you, and also to mention, you shall not murder. And I think that's one of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments, that thy shall not murder or shall not kill. And so here, again, both of these books talking about not taking a life of anyone, but preserving the life of people. Quran says it, and also the Bible says the same thing. Now, in terms of repentance, both books talk about repentance. I have in my class here probably some of the world's most intelligent people. And so I'm saying to you all to listen to what I'm saying, listen to what I'm reading, and also adhere to it or start practicing it, and also spread it to those who are not here, those who are not in our class with us right now. Tell them the same thing. You say that you're Muslim, then you have certain things you're supposed to do and things you're not supposed to do. You say that you're Christian, there are things you're supposed to do and things you're not supposed to do. So those who are present in the class today, you tell those who are not present. Now, in terms of repentance, Quran says in chapter 7, the 153rd verse, again in Quran, chapter 7, the 153rd verse, it says, in terms of repentance, as for those who do evil deeds, then repent and become true believers thereafter. Your Rabb, meaning your Lord, is most surely the forgiving, most merciful. We have, folks, a most forgiving and most merciful God. If we have sins as high as a mountain, he will forgive us. If we have it like the foam of the ocean, he'll forgive us. If it reaches up to the sky, the sins that we commit, he will forgive us. We just have to go to him and seek repentance from him for the things that we've done, for the evil acts that we performed. That's all. It's a simple thing. Now, the only thing, according to Islam, he will not forgive is what we call shirk. Shirk is associating partners with Allah, making others equal to Allah. The creator is the creator. He is not equal with the creation. And we cannot put the creation created by the creator, we cannot make them equal together in worship and giving them both the praise that they both are worthy of the same type of praise. No, you have the praise of God, and then you have the human beings, and they get what they're supposed to get. They don't get the same praise and same glory, if you will, that God gets. No way in this world or any world that they get the same praise. And so shirk, or committing shirk, it putting partners with Allah, this is unforgivable by Allah. But anything else we can be forgiven for. Again, that's chapter 7, the 153rd verse regarding repentance from the Islamic standpoint. Now, in Job, as some people say Job, but Job 36:10, I guess it's the 36th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, he makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. So again, we're talking about repentance from the Quranic verse and also from the Job, Job, I guess depends on how you want to pronounce it, the 36th chapter and the 10th verse. That verse says, he makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. So both books talked about repentance. And those who are listening to my voice right now, and you went out there and you've done evil deeds, it's not too late to repent. And according to Islam, when one repents, that you have to also sort of have what you call sort of criteria for repentance. And one of them is that you feel sorry for what you've done, and also you feel remorseful for what you've done, and that you immediately stop what you're doing. You don't say, okay, I repent, but then you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You truly have not repented. You have not repented for that particular sin that you've done, and you continue to do. If you truly feel sorry for what you've done, no matter what it was or is, then you ask for repentance and you stop doing it. And then we go to Allah, or go to Almighty God, and ask God to forgive us for the evil that we've done or the sin that we committed. Now, how about in terms of believing in, we believe in fearing of Allah in hell? So let's look at that for a moment in comparison to both books. Now, Quran says in chapter 2, verse 206, again in Quran, that's chapter 2, verse 206, and it says, when it is said to him, fear Allah, then it talks about the a person, the arrogant one, carries off his sins. Hell will be the proper place for such a person, which is indeed an evil refuge. Meaning that the person who is arrogant, they don't want to fear Allah. They don't want to fear God. They want to keep holding on to their sins. I don't care about that thing. And they want to just hold on to the sin and keep committing that sin. And for this individual that do not show fear of Allah and will be arrogant in their sins, hell will be the proper place for such a person, which is indeed an evil refuge. And so that's what the Quran says about the person that should be fearing Allah and what will happen to them when they don't fear Allah. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, it says, and that's again Luke chapter 12, verse 5, it says, but I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Again, I want to read this because maybe some people don't understand. This you follow the Christian religion, but do you do what Christianity tells you to do? Or you follow the Islamic religion? Do you do what the Islamic religion tells you to do? Again, in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, it says, but I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So please, my Christian and my Muslim brethren, read your book and then adhere to it. Don't just read it, always good reading, and then put it back on the shelf or dust it off, read it when you have something going on bad in your life, and then you throw it back on the shelf afterwards. No, you read it and then you practice what you've read. Adhere to what you've read. And don't be afraid of adhering to what you've read. Now, both faiths mentions Mary's encounter with the angel. In Quran, in chapter 3, verse 47, again in Quran, chapter 3, verse 47, it says, she said, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, so it will be for Allah's creatures what he wills, or creates what he wills, I'm sorry. Allah creates what he will. When he has decreed something, he only says be, and it is so, meaning kun fayakun. So Allah answered Mary's question, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? And Allah basically saying, look, it's easy for me to do. I am the creator. I create what I will. And all I got to do is say be, and it is. Kun fayakun, be. And it is present. Not have to go through a factory, get something made up or anything like that. or get some people together and have them make it up. No, I, the Lord, I say be in his presence, and that's it. And it's easy for Allah to do this, because Allah created a man without a father and a mother, that was Adam. He created a female without a mother, which that was Eve, and created a male, meaning Jesus, without a father. So this is easy for Allah to do. Now again, in Luke chapter 1, the 24th verse, again, Luke chapter 1, the 24th verse, it says, how would this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Asking the same question, how can I have a son when I'm a virgin? In the Quran, they talk about it. And the same thing in the Bible, and Mary asked the same question to the angel. It says, how could this be that I could have a son and I am a virgin? No man has touched me. Both faiths talk about adultery, meaning committing your marriage to someone and you commit a sin and you have sex with someone else outside your marriage. And in Quran, in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 32, again, chapter 17, verse 17, verse 32. I get these verses mixed together. Again, that's in Quran, chapter 17, verse 32. And it says, and do not approach unlawful sexual intercourse. Indeed, it is ever an immorality and is evil as a way. Again, in Quran, chapter 17, verse 17, pertaining to adultery, it says, and do not approach unlawful sexual intercourse. Indeed, it is ever an immorality and is evil as a way. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28, again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already. Even just looking at a woman lustfully is, according to this particular verse, have already committed adultery. Let me read it again. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already. So those of you who practice Christian faith, you are not supposed to commit adultery. And those of you who practice Islamic faith, you are not to practice adultery either, nor fornication. Now, in terms of health, staying healthy, eating right, and that sort of thing, Muslims and Christians have codes of health, such as not drinking alcohol and not eating certain foods. These codes of health are part of the covenants made with Allah. For example, abstaining from alcohol. In Quran chapter 5, verse 90. Again, Quran chapter 5, verse 90. It says, O you who believe, indeed, intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing stone, meaning altars, to others than Allah, and dividing arrows, are but defilement from the work of Shaitan. So avoid it that you may be successful. So we as Muslims, we cannot gamble, and we cannot drink, or do anything that is like a sacrifice for something other than Allah. We can't sacrifice for Shaitan, for the devil. We can't do that kind of thing. So this is in chapter 5, verse 90. Now in Proverbs, which is chapter 20, verse 1, it's again, that's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it says, wine makes people mock, makes fun of others. Liquor makes them noisy or fight with others. And everyone under their influence is unwise. Again, in Proverbs 20, verse 1, it says, wine makes people mock, make fun of others. Liquor makes them noisy and fight with others. And everyone under their influence is unwise. So both our books say do not drink, and the reason not to drink. Yet and still, we may have people from both faith that drink or consume alcohol or gamble and the like. But I want to tell you today that this goes against our faith, the Islamic faith and also the Christian faith. And also, we are prohibited from eating pork. Both faiths are prohibited from eating pork. Now, in the Quran, it mentions in chapter 16, verse 115, in Quran, chapter 16, verse 115, it says, he has only forbid you dead animals, bloods, and the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to others than Allah. Now, in Leviticus, it says in chapter 11, verse 7 through 8, and it says, the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses. They are unclean for you. So both of our books forbid us from eating swine or eating pig. So those of us who do that, you are going against the teachings of your own book. That we are not to eat the pork, the pig, the swine, whatever you want to call it. We are forbidden from doing that. And both of our books tells us not to do this kind of thing. And so, my respected students, please, I beg of you to adhere to your book. My Muslim students and my non-Muslim students, and I showed the difference between the two books of what is common in both books in the Quran and also in the Bible. And you can also go to Quran and Bible and see for yourself and make the comparison between the two. In short, Muslims and Christians share a common guidance in our books, and this can serve as a starting point for dialogue leading to a greater levels of mutual understanding, tolerance, and respect between the two of us. You have been listening to or attending Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your teacher, instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.